Well, the great journalist Ben Swan had me on to talk about the AI-generated so-called viruses. And what are the risk factors associated with this? Because there was a group that was bragging about how they use AI to develop, you know, friendly viruses, they called them. I think 16 different viruses that would attack, I don't know, pathogens or something. So you might be wondering, well, what are the dangers with this? So let's step back for a moment. AI augmentation can turn one person's effort into, let's say, the work of 10 people. Very, very common for that to be witnessed when you're talking about coding, you know, writing code or doing, let's say, paralegal work or even straight up attorney work. Or doing medical research, for example, or editing text or translating. I mean, in translations, AI has replaced everybody. I don't think there are any human translators left, except for maybe with some very rare languages that AI just hasn't been taught yet. But AI allows one human to do the work of many other people. And of course, that's a double-edged sword, right? It can be good or bad. If you're a good person with positive intentions and you want to use AI to do things like what I do, to educate, to build infographics that are educational, to create books that are free for people to learn from, or to engineer solutions or create, you know, nutritional menus for people who want to upgrade their health through foods and superfoods, etc. Those are all positive uses of AI. And I support all those uses, and those are some of the uses that I engage in. I will use AI all the time. I use it every single day. It makes me more productive and effective. But then there are the bad faith people who use AI to do malicious things. Those are the bioweapons, the bioterrorists, the depopulation pushers, the cyber hackers, etc. But there's even a third group, which is people who think they're doing good, but are actually part of a system that is evil. And in that group, I would count a lot of so-called virologists or so-called medical researchers or vaccine engineers, people like that. And those consist of people who believed all the brainwashing in medical school, for example, and they think that pharmaceuticals are going to save humankind, and they think that vaccines are awesome. And they may not themselves be aware of the depopulation, higher level agenda that's taking place. So they are sort of unwitting pawns in a game of harming humanity. And they think they're using AI for good, but actually it's being used for evil. So there's a lot of that that's going on as well. And in fact, I think this particular topic about AI-generated so-called viruses, this is in that category. Now, we also have to clarify, what is a virus? You know, how much do we accept from modern virology, etc.? I don't believe much of anything about modern virology. And even though I used to, but since COVID, I've learned that there's never been a virus isolated, you know, like an influenza virus, as it's called. It's never been isolated from a person who's said to be infected or sick with influenza and then introduced into the body of a healthy person where it replicated into, you know, a confirmed homogeneous protein morphology that reproduced the same sickness symptoms that were spotted in the first person. So this idea of the transmission of disease via viruses is a hoax. That doesn't exist. What does exist is that certain proteins can be pathological. They can be toxins. So this is true with the SARS-CoV-2 protein or with the S1 subunit of that protein or with the S1 subunit of that protein or the so-called virus, as well as fragments of the proteins. And some of these fragments can themselves be pathogenic or harmful to human cells. So I want to be clear what I'm saying here. Your body can be injected with mRNA where your body is given instructions to churn out non-human proteins that are pathogenic, that are toxins, that do harm you, that is true. And then you can shed those harmful substances onto someone else. That's called shedding. And then that person could suffer effects from exposure to the toxins that you are shedding. So that can sometimes be labeled or even misunderstood as viral transmission when it's really just toxic exposure from someone who is shedding. But to some degree, these are just using different words to say very much the same thing. Now, the reason this is important to understand is because when AI systems help scientists create artificial viruses, what they're really creating is artificial toxins or artificial proteins, artificial molecular structures, you know, large molecules. Proteins are large molecules. So large molecular structures that can have and do have impacts on human biology, biochemistry, physiology, neurology, immunology, etc. This is critical to understand. So when I hear about scientists, oh, we've used AI to create these 16 synthetic viruses that never existed before, in my mind, that sets off all kinds of red flags because it means, number one, they can use AI to speed the creation of biological weapons that they call vaccines, or that they call gene therapy, or that they call a prescription medication. You know, they can call it anything they want because the FDA will let them get away with murder, obviously. So they can call it all kinds of things, but it doesn't mean that it's safe. And you might be wondering, well, wait a minute, how does AI come up with a real protein? Well, that's just straight, you know, genetics and chemistry. You know, mRNA, transcriptase instructions, is a blueprint for how to assemble amino acids essentially into protein structures, and how those protein structures go together, the sequence of assembly. It could even involve things like protein folding. What are the receptor sites on the outside of the structure? All kinds of things. You know, there's a 3D morphology that's involved in proteins. Anyway, once they have the instructions nailed down, they can, through just modern chemistry, you can synthesize proteins. You can sequence and then synthesize. You know, proteins can be synthesized. It's not cheap to do it, but that is done. And it's, you know, there's a lot of synthesis of other simpler molecules that happens in laboratories. For example, pretty straightforward to synthesize, let's say, ascorbic acid, you know, vitamin C. That's synthesized all the time. You can synthesize many things, but proteins are some of the more complex things to synthesize. But that's a whole area of chemistry or biochemistry, or I don't even know what the specialty titles would be. But somebody who can take a protein sequence from mRNA instructions and then turn that into physical proteins, well, those people exist. And those lab techniques do exist. They are real, and that can happen. And, you know, CRISPR, for example, you're familiar with CRISPR, which is a gene editing tool that is basically open source at this point. Lots of people can edit genetic sequences. And those sequences, even though you might be editing, let's say, RNA, and those genetic sequences, once they're translated properly into, you know, the mRNA blueprint that your cells need, then your own cells will just churn out those proteins. So, you know, ribosomes create proteins. So this technology already exists inside every living cell in your body. So it's not something that is impossible to do. You do it all the time. But it's been done, you know, artificially, obviously. So the danger in this is that, again, a bad faith person could use this, or even a good faith person who is misled could use this technology, and they could end up mass producing a toxin, a protein toxin or protein fragment toxins, that even they might tell themselves these are good, but they turn out to be a mistake, turn out to be, you know, a horrible toxin, unleashing the zombie apocalypse. There was a whole movie based on that science fiction concept. Will Smith starred in it. Remember, it's called I Am Legend. and the biochemists thought they'd come up with a cancer cure, 100% cancer cure. So they treated everybody with it, and everybody turned into zombies. And then Will Smith had to fight the zombies with his dog. So that's pretty much the movie. In case you want to watch that. In real life, you could have AI also hallucinating, which, you know, all AI can hallucinate. Text generation AI will hallucinate text. It will hallucinate, you know, the wrong titles, the wrong author names, the wrong years, things like that, unless you very carefully control and review and edit what it's producing. It'll suffer hallucinations. Image generation AI will very frequently hallucinate like six fingers in images of people. It has trouble with mouths and teeth, repeating patterns like teeth or fingers or toes and things like that. Video AI engines will also hallucinate video. You know, they'll come up with crazy things. Well, protein synthesis AI can also hallucinate bad proteins or really bad morphology of how they go together or how they fold, etc. So we already know this about AI. It doesn't matter what it's working on, images or text or proteins or video. It's capable of making mistakes. So my question would be for these researchers, how closely are they scrutinizing what they're creating and how do they know it's safe? I think they said in the study, like, we didn't make anything harmful and these are, you know, helpful viruses, whatever. Well, hey, it is true that most so-called viruses are harmless to human biology. In fact, the vast majority of them are harmless because, well, they're not even really viruses. That's one of the reasons why. I mean, not as viruses are explained in the mainstream. However, that doesn't mean that some, you know, pathogenic structure couldn't slip through the guardrails or the quality control or the human review and end up being something that they replicate and they start releasing it in the subway system in, you know, New York or wherever, because they tell themselves, oh, this is going to be good for everybody, you know. Maybe they're producing a virus that they think is like a flu shot, right? And maybe in their own minds, they tell themselves, everybody needs a flu shot, so let's just release it all through the buildings in the city. Let's release it in the subway system. Let's release it in the sports arenas, you know. Let's release it in the restaurants everywhere, and people will thank us when they don't get sick this winter, you know. You can imagine somebody doing that. And then, of course, everybody turns into zombies or some other horrible effect like turbo cancer or infertility, spontaneous abortions, immune system collapse, you know, crazy skin reactions, you know, inflammation, cytokine storm, things like that. And those things would be bad. And by the way, if Fauci were a supervillain, like in comic books, you know how in the X-Men there is a superhero known as Storm? And she could control the weather. I think Fauci should be called Cytokine Storm. And what he does is he kills you with inflammation because he's actually already done that. He's already a supervillain. He just needs the costume. So given that we are living in a world where clearly most of the medical establishment is either trying to make you sick and profit off your sickness, or they are literally trying to kill you. You know, think about it. FDA, CDC, vaccines, big pharma. Cancer doctors that get paid for causing cancer or extending cancer. You know, chemotherapy causes cancer. Mammography causes breast cancer, damages heart tissue with ionizing radiation, etc. Virtually the entire medical system is really run like a death cult. And if they then have the power of AI synthesis of, you know, protein toxins, that's probably not good for humanity. Probably not. We don't need artificial intelligence to design molecules for our health because God's intelligence already did it. Mother Nature already designed and engineered the nutrients that protect your genetic code. Those nutrients are called things like, well, astaxanthin, for example, or phycocyanin from spirulina, or what? Chlorophyll from chlorella. Or vitamin C, for that matter, you know, or anthocyanins, from like dark berries and such, you know, or sulforaphane from broccoli sprouts, your body can benefit tremendously from these already engineered nutrients, just engineered by God and Mother Nature. And probably you will want to use those substances and many more, you know, vitamin D, vitamin E, etc. All the B vitamins, especially niacin and nicotinamide. Yeah, some good stuff coming. So I've got a free course coming up soon, hopefully releasing by the end of August, that will teach you the principles of nutritional defenses against spike protein shedding or mRNA vaccine shedding or any other kind of crazy exposure, even if it's AI engineered or, you know, maliciously Fauci engineered or gain of function engineered, whatever. If it's a threat to your DNA, your genetic integrity, then there is a nutritional defense against it. And my free course coming up will teach you all those nutritional defenses, which also happen to be the exact same things that protect you from ionizing radiation and even non-ionizing radiation, such as 5G exposure or EMFs or high voltage power lines or being around electric motors all day because you drive an EV, things like that. How do you protect your body? It's a very straightforward course. I teach you exactly how to do it, exactly which nutrients, which strategies for reducing exposure, all kinds of things. Again, that's going to be completely free. If you stay tuned to my podcast and my interviews at brightvideos.com, you will definitely hear about that announcement. Or if you read my articles at naturalnews.com or subscribe to the email newsletter there at Natural News, you'll also hear about this because we're going to be touting this everywhere once it's finally released. And I'll be talking about it on my daily broadcast, and I'll bring you some snippets. And this course will have a tremendous number of AI-generated infographics that are educational, that explain things like diagrams and things. And if I can get this up and running in time, I may have some AI-generated video of some of those diagrams and infographics, but we'll see. I can't promise that yet. I am currently setting up some local workstations to run Minimax H3 on some NVIDIA 6000 Pro cards. My early tests showed that it works great, but I'm having to scale up these systems with some pretty extreme thermal management because of the heat situation, which is getting insane. So if I can make those work for you, I'll bring you those too. Bottom line, follow my work at brightvideos.com or naturalnews.com. If you want to be kept informed about how to protect your genetic integrity, which also means protecting your immune system function, protecting your fertility, protecting neurology, because, you know, your brain cells have genetic code as well. It's kind of important to protect it all, right? Your red blood cells don't have genetic code. That's one thing that doesn't. But the other cells in your body that make red blood cells, they have genetic code. You need to protect that. So, you know, bone marrow cells, for example. So we're going to bring you all this information that will have a hugely positive impact on your life, completely free of charge. You won't have to pay a thing. The most you'll have to do is enter your email address and confirm your email, and that's it. And you'll have full access to the entire course free of charge. So stay tuned. I'll bring you that information as soon as I have it. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay informed. With Fauci testifying before the Senate and taking the Fifth Amendment 111 times, a lot of us are reminded about exactly what happened during the COVID years. And I want to remind you that, and I'm not judging anybody on this, but the way they structured compliance with the vaccine was to make it ridiculously inconvenient to say no to the vaccine. But they didn't, not in the United States anyway, except in the military, but outside the military, regular civilians, they did not force the vaccine on anyone. There wasn't a doctor that, you know, assaulted you and threw you to the ground and tied your hands and jabbed a needle in your arm because, you know, if doctors were running around assaulting people with medical bioweapons, you know, gosh, people would have the right to pull out a Glock and shoot that bitch-ass doctor dead in self-defense, obviously. So they didn't want to create those kinds of situations. So they never actually, they never had doctors assault patients. They asked patients to consent to the injections. Of course, it wasn't just doctors. It was nurses. It was pharmacists, etc. But they required your consent. Now, how did they get your consent? They made saying no ridiculously inconvenient. So if you said no, you could lose your job. If you said no and you were in the medical profession, you could lose your medical license. And some did. If you said no, you couldn't visit your elderly parent in the nursing home. If you said no, you couldn't board an airplane to visit your son or daughter at college, let's say. I'm just naming scenarios that are very real, scenarios that I heard from people. If you said no, you weren't allowed to go to some gymnasiums. You weren't allowed to go to some grocery stores. If you said no, you were ostracized from society and you were shamed by almost everyone in society. But they didn't force you to take the jab. So almost everyone who actually took the jab in the United States consented to it. They consented to it. And if you're listening to this, obviously, whether you took the jab or not, you survived. So if you did take the jab, one of two things happened. Either number one, you got saline solution instead of the weaponized batches, and so you dodged a bullet, or you got the real jab and then you learned how to overcome it. You learned how to detox. You learned how to use nutrition. You learned how to protect yourself from those bioweapons. So congratulations, by the way. That takes some courage and some dedication. And I know many of you listening have been through all of that. But the most important lesson that we all learned in this, in my opinion, is that protecting your life from the depopulation agenda will never be made convenient. So I hear sometimes from people demands for convenience, like, well, I should have been able to say no and also keep my job and also fly on airplanes and also go into the nursing home or whatever. Well, they didn't make it convenient. On purpose, they wanted to coerce as many people as possible into consenting to the bioweapons jab. Because then, see, look, the establishment knew that this was a kill shot for some people. They knew. They built the bioweapon. They put it into the vaccine. They put the programmed instructions for building spike protein toxins into the mRNA that's injected into you, along with the, you know, lipid nanoparticles to have it invade your cells and everything. They knew exactly what they were doing. But at the end of the day, they wanted to be able to say, well, you consented to it. We didn't make you take it. And you've actually heard that from the vaccine industry in the years since. Like, we didn't make anyone take the vaccine. You've heard that. Or maybe you've seen that in news headlines. You see, that's their defense. We didn't make anyone take it. Well, technically, that's true. But they were just the biggest assholes on the planet who made your life as inconvenient as possible to try to coerce you into taking it. But at the end of the day, you or others consented to it. So you see, that's their defense. They can say, if they're sued or if there's, you know, like Nuremberg trials or something, all these doctors and pharmacists and nurses who push this and all the Faucis and the vaccine engineers, they can all say the same thing. Well, we didn't make anyone take it. We didn't force anyone to take it. People took it because they wanted it. You see, that's their defense. So your job, your defense of your life has to be grounded on the principle of understanding that defending your life is not going to be convenient. You might lose your job. You might lose your medical license. You might lose access to whatever, air travel, university, even a grocery store. Yes, this is probably going to happen again. And they're going to make it ridiculously inconvenient. If they have you wrapped up in a CBDC, you might lose access to your bank account for not taking the jab. And with all these flock cameras they have monitoring everybody's travel, you might lose your right to travel on public roads if you don't take the jab. Because they're going to be tracking you and tracing you and monitoring you in every way they can. My question to you is, how far are you willing to go to protect your life against a depopulation bioweapon? And the answer should be, I'm willing to go all the way. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to defend my life. And see, I understand that with the COVID jabs, we didn't necessarily know exactly what was going on. I mean, that was the first time that they rolled out something like that. And that's why I'm not blaming anybody who took a jab or two and then found out the hard way, oh my God, they're trying to kill us. If you did that and you overcame it, again, congratulations. You're going to be okay now, because we're so many years later, you've already cleared the spike protein and you know now not to do that again, right? So we've all learned difficult lessons. The thing is, you have to apply those lessons now in what's coming, because they are going to make it so inconvenient for you that the vast majority of the population will line up and take whatever jab is required of them in order to function in society. In order to function in society. And that's what the establishment is counting on. They can roll out a plandemic. They can roll out a fake Ebola outbreak, which they're doing all the time. They can roll out a fake measles outbreak. They can roll out fake Zika virus. And they just made that up. They're just making it up all the time. And then if they create enough fear and they kill enough people in the hospitals and they can, you know, cause enough panic, then they can start taking away your rights. And they will. And you need to know to resist that. You need to know, you need to have the courage and the discipline to know what's happening. Hey, they're trying to kill us. Of course they are. That's their goal. Depopulation. Of course they're trying to kill you. Your job is to make it very difficult for them to kill you, or to become what I say as being hard to kill. Be hard to kill. Don't give up your life for the mere convenience of, you know, air travel or whatever. Because that's what they want. Some people gave up their lives for a cheeseburger. No, literally, some people took the jab in exchange for a freaking cheeseburger. Some people took the jab for a donut. Like a sprinkles. Donut with sprinkles. And those people are dead. They traded their life for a donut or a cheeseburger or whatever. Crazy. But they're dead, you know, so those people aren't, they're not going to make that mistake again, I suppose, probably. Not in this life, anyway. Hey, maybe karmically they'll come back around, you know, like reincarnation, like round two, you know, try again. This time, don't take the jab. I don't know, we'll see. Depending on how the cosmos works. Anyway, you get the idea, so protect yourself. Don't be a sucker for their control systems. And understand that living life as someone who says no to the bioweapons is going to be inconvenient. If you have an expectation that everything's going to be easy, then you have the wrong expectation. They're not going to make it easy on purpose, because they're trying to kill you, but they want your consent. It's like doing a deal with the devil. You do a deal with the devil, you have to agree to sell your soul to the devil. The devil can't make you sell your soul. You have to consent at some point. So, you know, the devil plays tricks with your mind, you know, and tries to get you to consent. Well, you can always just refuse and say, no, I do not consent. I'm not selling my soul. I'm not sacrificing my life. I'm not taking your stupid bioweapons jab. I'm not going to be part of your depopulation experiment, no matter what, motherfuckers. I mean, that's the attitude that you have to have. You have that attitude, you'll survive. You don't have that attitude, they'll kill you. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. So you can follow my work at brightvideos.com, my articles at naturalnews.com. I have a powerful new course coming out in a couple of weeks that will teach you how to survive nuclear fallout and radiation and spike protein, DNA mutations and chromosomal breaks and all kinds of things like that. It's a very powerful course. It's the most important course I've ever put together, and it's going to be free. You'll be able to see it for free, or listen to it, you know, stream it for free. So I'll keep you posted about that. Follow my channel at brightvideos.com. And you can also follow me on X at Health Ranger or brighteon.social. I'm also at Health Ranger. Thank you for listening. Be well. Be strong. Resist the tyrants, and you'll survive. Take care.
We also care about our hard-earned money and the taxes that we pay that is just getting basically burned and blown up with bombs falling in Iran. And so not only do we care about our military troops and are so tired of decades of seeing flag-draped coffins come home,
yes,
or people we know and love come back with PTSD or injuries that they never overcome. We're more than tired of that. But it's the propaganda that is sold over and over and over again by administration after administration. And it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. The propaganda is sold to the American people over and over of why we need to go bomb or go to war in some country that many people can't find on a map and have never been to and it doesn't affect us here at home.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I got to say, I'm so impressed with her work, her courage, her voice, her dedication to truth. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene represents the kind of America that we actually want to create. And she's here to talk with us today about kind of what went wrong on the way to that plan and maybe how we can make some changes. So welcome, Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I'm a fellow Texan, by the way. And like you, you know, I was a former Trump supporter. I'm very disappointed with a lot of recent things. I'm opposed to these wars. I'm opposed to a lot of the current policies. I'm pro Second Amendment. You know, I'm pro faith. I'm pro Texas. But there's a lot of people like us right now, aren't there? And how would you characterize what's happening with, you know, the former Trump support and where this is headed?
Well, I'm actually from Georgia, born and raised, lived here my entire life. That's where I live now, but I totally share your same views. I'm very conservative. As a matter of fact, so conservative, I have a 100% conservative voting record when I served in Congress, and none of my views have changed. For me, I was, you know, gosh, I was all in, supported President Trump during the campaign. I think I was the Republican that spoke at his rallies more than any other elected Republican because of what he said and the views and policies that he supported on the campaign. That has changed a lot, unfortunately, going from campaign Donald Trump to President Donald Trump. And yeah, I think that's where people are so frustrated. When he said no more foreign wars, we supported that. Well, now we're in a war with Iran. When he said America first, lower inflation, lower grocery prices, lower the price of gasoline and diesel, we 100% supported that. When he said things like he wanted to put tariffs in place in order to get rid of income taxes, my goodness, I think so many of us were all in. When he supported DOGE, getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse inside the government, I mean, I know that was something I supported so much. I created a subcommittee on the oversight committee.
Yes.
And so much of these policies that we have, that we wanted so badly, and we're ready to just kick Democrats to the curb forever because of their open borders, their support for the trans agenda on children and women, their big government spending. But look at what we've gotten. We've gotten practically the same thing with Republicans. Big government spending, $40 trillion in debt. Our border may not be open, but they're welcoming in H-1B visa holders, Indians, and Chinese students, 600,000 or more. To me, it's like, what's the difference? You're still replacing American jobs and American students. And so you're just seeing people that are look, we don't care what you say anymore on Truth Social. We don't care what you say to the press at the White House. We don't care what you say on the campaign trail. it's all about what you actually do.
Yes, and, exactly.
And the results aren't there. As a matter of fact, they're very much the opposite.
Absolutely. And by the way, thank you for the correction. I should have said I am a fellow Southerner, but for the Northern people, they don't realize that we all consider ourselves basically the one giant state. Like Georgia is greater Texas, or in Georgia, they would say Texas is greater Georgia. So,
Right. I married a Texan, so I get it.
Exactly. That's there's a cultural thing that not everybody gets unless they're here, but we share, a lot of values of personal mm-hmm. freedom and liberty, but also high integrity. We want to treat people with dignity. We don't want to get involved in all these foreign wars because our states, Texas, Georgia, et cetera, this is where all the veterans come from. You know, I mean, a significant portion of the military comes from our states. So it's our boys and women in some cases that come back injured or come back with PTSD. We don't want that to happen to them. We care about our citizens, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We also care about our hard-earned money and the taxes that we pay that is just getting basically burned and blown up with bombs falling in Iran. And so not only do we care about our military troops and are so tired of decades of seeing flag-draped coffins come home
yes.
or people we know and love come back with PTSD or injuries that they never overcome. We're more than tired of that. But it's the propaganda that is sold over and over and over again by administration after administration. And it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. The propaganda is sold to the American people over and over of why we need to go bomb or go to war in some country that many people can't find on a map and have never been to and it doesn't affect us here at home. And, you know, the president said that it was that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Well, he was told by Tulsi Gabbard and all of our intelligence agencies that Iran is nowhere near developing a nuclear weapon. And that was also said by the international agencies that monitor all of this. And so that's not the real reason. And that's proving to be true right now in their so-called negotiations that really are not happening. It's really all about the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
And it's really all about the trade routes and about oil. Once again, it's another Middle East war all about oil. And I'm sorry, we're $40 trillion in debt. And our dollar is weakening and weakening and weakening down to the point where so many people today can't afford, like families, they can't afford to live on a single income anymore like you could 20 years ago.
That's right.
It's a two working household now. And just what it is to be an American is completely changing. I saw Stephen Moore post up a chart the other day, I don't know if you saw it, where Americans are now paying more in taxes as a whole than they are for the basic needs of life, rent, housing, wow. food, groceries, clothing. We're paying more in taxes than we are for our basic needs. To me, that means that the whole thing is completely over with. And I just don't know how we support it anymore.
And all the currency printing to support mm-hmm. the war machine. Is also a big part of why things are unaffordable for people. Now, let's talk about the possibility of some solutions. I'm so impressed with you and how you proved your merit and your courage in standing up against the system. Even in announcing your resignation from Congress, was also an act of courage because you stood by your principles. You didn't compromise in order to stay in. On this show, I've interviewed Colonel Douglas McGregor and Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. We've interviewed and many other people. We're fans of Thomas Massie and Ron Paul, by the way, mm-hmm. who is an actual Texan. I should note. Is there a future? Because there are hints, there are rumors of a third party or something. I'm not mm-hmm. asking you to break any secrets or anything, but where is this all headed?
Well, I think what is happening right now is it's coming to terms with the fact that the two-party system has completely failed us. Like I said, no matter which party is in control, you get the same result. You get more debt, you get more foreign wars, the dollar gets weaker, and Americans are put last. And yes, there are differences between the Democrat and Republican Party But after serving in Congress, I can tell you firsthand, watching it up close, they work together and it continues the same garbage year after year. The same budget gets passed, the same programs get supported. Yeah, they fight on TV and they fight in political campaigns. And the social issues are different. However, it's just a team sport. It's just one side fighting against the other, but the results are always the same. And so where we are right now is, I think it's a reckoning. I think Americans have got to take a hard look at our situation. And I think they're going to realize it probably pretty soon, in a matter of years. We're $40 trillion in debt right now. And they're saying that we could be $50 trillion in debt sometime around 2028 or a year after that, because the interest on the debt is growing out of control. And Congress doesn't reduce any spending. We're also looking at Social Security and Medicare being completely insolvent. That means bankrupt by the year 2032. So the words that I'm speaking, and Thomas Massey and so many others like us, Tucker, and so many others, where we're saying this is a total failure for everyone and it's not worth being involved in the two-party system anymore. It's no longer voting for a lesser evil because they're both evil. This is going to require Americans in large numbers to agree and come to terms with it and really decide to do something about it. And I think there's many Americans that are already there. 45% of Americans consider themselves independents. That is a larger majority than the Republican and Democrat Party. So the case is already being made. People are pretty much there. However, the reality is we've got some years to go. The baby boomer generation is very embedded in voting in the two-party system. And these people vote. They show up and consistently vote. Whereas the younger generations, they do not vote. They're much further into the America First movement and their belief system. However, they don't show up at the polls. So it's going to take a considerable amount of time, but it's really going to take many Americans willing to say, we're not going to get our hands dirty anymore participating in something that is completely failing every single one of us.
I completely agree with what you just said, but we will both hear from people who will say, if you don't vote for the GOP, then you're letting the Democrats win, and then they're going to target the children with transgenderism, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they're going to ban the Second Amendment, et cetera. You know, what is your response to that argument? I'm sure you've already heard.
I have a pretty good response to that particular argument, especially when it comes to the transgender agenda on children. You know, the last vote I took in the House of Representatives was actually on my own bill called Protect Children's Innocence Act. And it makes it a felony to perform gender affirming care, basically to trans any child under the age of 18. That bill actually passed the House. And it only passed the House, by the way, because three Democrats actually voted for it. There were four Republicans that voted against it.
Wow.
Four Republicans voted no on that. So my bill to stop the trans agenda on children, that literally makes it a felony on the federal level to give them hormones, to perform mastectomies, castration, counsel them, teachers to talk them into being trans, changing their gender, would be a felony. However, it's Republicans in the Senate that are in charge right now that are not, that bill is sitting in the Senate. I'm not kidding you. All they got to do is bring it up for a vote. It's sitting over there in the Senate ready to go. They can pass it in the Senate and send it to the White House. However, the Republican-controlled White House is not putting any pressure on passing the bill, and the Republican-controlled Senate is not doing anything with the bill. So it's not even a priority of theirs. The bill passed. So I can tell you right now, I have worked so hard fighting to protect our Second Amendment, fighting literally passed a bill to stop the trans agenda on children. I have a 100% voting record. I voted against all the foreign war money, foreign aid, voted against all of that stuff, voted against the bloated budgets. However, nothing ever changed. And so what do I have to say to people that are saying, oh, you're going to let the Democrats win? I can tell you this right now, the Republicans don't want to win. They don't want to win. because if they really wanted to win, they would do things like pick up the bill, Protect Children's Innocence Act, and they would pass it in the Senate.
Good point.
They would get rid of the filibuster and they would pass the Save America Act. They would take brave action, courageous action, and they would actually accomplish what they promised us on the campaign trail. So why do I need to support a party that is refusing, literally refusing to do exactly what they promised and what we voted for? I'm not going to do it. And does it let the Democrats win? Well, like I said, it doesn't matter. Under Democrat presidents, Obama, Biden, Clinton, we got foreign wars and more debt. Under Republican presidents, Bush, Trump 1, Trump 2, we got more foreign wars and more debt. And so you know, and I just refuse to have anything to do with complete failure.
Yeah, that's well stated. And I would add that, especially in the Senate, the GOP Senate leaders, like let's say, you know, Mitch McConnell or the late Lindsey Graham, especially because of the existence of the filibuster, they were more happy to be the minority party who could function as gatekeepers because they had a lot of control as the minority party as long as that filibuster rule was in place. So they were always playing games with that. Whereas us Americans in Georgia, in Texas, in Tennessee, I mean, all over the country, even in California and Oregon, we don't feel represented at all by the representatives in D.C. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're not represented. Just to tell you, you're not. You can go ahead and finish.
I just wanted to confirm you're not represented. Okay, let me continue. And this might sound radical, but I am at the point, as a Texan, as an educator and a food scientist and everything, I think we should completely dismantle the ATF, the FDA, the CDC, HHS, EPA, just like almost the entire list. Like I can understand air traffic control, the FCC, I can understand things like that. We don't want airplanes to collide. But in my view, these other agencies are harmful to our country. They are not helping at all. That's my opinion.
Well, I actually had introduced a bill to completely dismantle the ATF at one point. So, but I do agree with you. We need to reduce the size of our federal government. There's a lot of overlap. You can reduce many of these agencies down into several agencies and still accomplish the same job, but they're not willing to do it. These all sound like great ideas, but I can tell you right now, neither party will ever do it because they serve the big donors and the lobbyists and the big corporations. You see, when I was in Congress, that's the only people I saw in there. Was lobbyists representing special interests like big pharma, military industrial complex, any big industry. I never saw regular Americans there because regular Americans are working and they're busy living their lives and they think that they're being represented, but you're not. You're being, they're representing basically Washington, D.C. and the lobbyists and the big corporate interests. They're representing the people that are taking them to dinner and writing them max campaign checks.
Absolutely.
And so we can talk about all the greatest ideas in the world, but I can tell you right now, they're never going to reduce the size of the federal government. They're just not going to do it.
Number one, give us your X handle so people can follow you on X.
Mm-hmm. I've got two X accounts, my former congressional account, former Rep MTG, and then I have my original X account, the one that got banned on Twitter for saying that the FDA should repeal the COVID vaccine and being completely against the lockdowns and all the vaccines and calling for Anthony Fauci to be fired. That's my original X account, and that is at MT Green with two E's on the end.
At MT Green.
With two E's on the end. Yep.
Just spell your last name for us again, just to be clear.
So that X account is MTGREENEE. MT Green, two E's on the end.
Got it. All right. I'll make sure my editor puts it on the screen because that could be confusing to people.
Thank you.
No problem. Now let's talk. We still have a few minutes left. Again, thank you for your time. I understand you're super busy today. People have no idea what you're actually handling at the moment. But about these, so now we have the new mRNA flu shot that's just been approved by the FDA, lacking long-term clinical trials, et cetera. You know, Trump signed an EO that, as you know, doesn't carry the weight of law. It's not a regulation. It can be ignored largely or thrown out. What's your take on the fact that now it feels like we're going through COVID 2.0 about to again with more mRNA jabs? Personally, I don't want all these people shedding all over me. I don't take these jabs. I don't want to be around people that take the jabs. But what's your take on what's happening?
Well, the president, he has bragged over and over again about Operation Warp Speed. He fully supports the COVID vaccines. He's very proud of them. He's gotten vaccinated himself, even as recently as him being president at his checkup. And, you know, he absolutely loved Anthony Fauci during his first term. He was the one that locked down our country. Remember?
Yes.
15 days to slow the spread. he supported the blue state governors that kept their states locked down. Andrew Cuomo. I mean, that, I mean, we can never forget that. And even endorsed him in his race just last year. So these are things that you have to be realistic about Donald Trump. He's very much supports vaccines, and he's not against the mRNA vaccine. No. And he doesn't believe the COVID vaccines kill people. As a matter of fact, he has told me over and over again, he has said it on TV a million times, he believes that Operation Warp Speed and the COVID vaccine saved millions of lives. And so people like us that totally disagree and are against the COVID vaccines and know the real harm that they have caused and are not surprised by the reports such as about miscarriages, which is horrific. You have to come to terms with the fact that President Trump actually supports them. So does he support a new flu vaccine that's mRNA? Yes, he does. He fully supports it. Now, at the same time, thankfully, he has listened to Secretary Kennedy and did sign that executive order to reduce the number of vaccines for children. However, that under Trump, the FDA is not repealing the approval for the COVID vaccine. So, I mean, you have to look at the actions versus the words. And the reality is that no one's going to be held accountable for all of the crimes against humanity during COVID. And I think that's one of the most unforgivable things that we're seeing out of this administration.
Yeah, absolutely. It's disgusting. Not only were people like you and I deplatformed, smeared, banned, demonetized, and many, many others, many of our audience members, in fact, and it was the truth tellers. The people that told the truth got blacklisted. And the truth has come out. We've all been vindicated. We were the ones who were right. And now it's coming back around with another mRNA. And apparently there's going to be another after that and another one and another one. And I feel like we're living under just a constant assault from our own FDA that is, let's say, in cahoots with Big Pharma, constantly just pushing out things that make us sick, not things that keep us healthy. I mean,
yeah, it's very true. And then that and the fact, I mean, think about all the people that died alone by themselves in the hospital because their families were not allowed to come in. The elderly people in nursing homes that were put together with COVID patients, people that lost their jobs because they refused to take the vaccine, children's education being really, really hurt because of all the school lockdowns. I mean, the stories go on and on. And the stories are real, and the vaccine injuries many people are living with today, and no one will listen to them. They can't sue anybody. They can't get any help. People who lost loved ones. I mean, you can never forget all the videos we saw of people dropping dead, literally on live television. All these young, healthy athletes dying, and now the massive increase in cancer. I mean, I really think it's crimes against humanity, and the entire MAGA and MAHA movement spoke out massively over the years. And like you said, many people were censored, kicked off of social media. I lost my ex account for the entire year of 2022, and you got everybody. So many people got censored about it. But there's not going to be any accountability. And that's one of the biggest things that we wanted was we wanted justice. We wanted accountability for all the wrongs that were done, not just for COVID, the Epstein files and many other things. And we're not seeing it.
Right.
And it's not trust the plan. If you're still trusting the plan, I'm sorry, there's no help for you at this point.
That's a good point. All right, we're almost out of time. I'm respecting your time limits, but I want to ask you about your future. And I want to just say up front that whatever you plan to do, you have a very strong future because you are the voice of reason. You have credibility. You have proven that you can stand up against the political bullies and the fundraising bullies. You've proven all of that. Whatever you choose to do, I think you'll be very successful with it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, I mean, I wanted to tell you that in person or over Zoom in this case, but, you know,
thank you.
Face to face as much as we can be. But is right. there anything you want to tell us about what you have coming up or how people can follow you or any hints or anything you want to drop?
No, I don't have any announcements, no major hints. Yep. Nope. Just focused on one day at a time and hoping people can see through the BS that is constantly thrown at them every day. But well, no, I sincerely want the best for our country and our future.
I know you do. And I'll tell you this, you have an open door here. When or if a day comes that you are onto a new project and you want to come here and help share it with our audience, you are always welcome to come. And we honor your work. And I thank you for your time today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great to talk to you. I really appreciate it.
It's been great to talk to a fellow Southerner also from the great state of Georgia. So
that's right.
That's right. All right.
All right. Well, have a great day. Thank you so much. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. That was Marjorie Taylor Greene, everybody, from the great state of Georgia, which, again, we consider to be just an extension of Texas here in Texas. I got to rib everybody in the southern states. But, you know, our sister state is actually Tennessee, by the way, if you know the history of Texas and Tennessee. So a big shout out to all the Tennesseans out there, as well as the Georgians and everybody in between. So thank you for watching today. I appreciate you, appreciate all of your support. And if you want to watch more video interviews, check it out at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and I'm with Marjorie Taylor Greene on these issues. I think she nailed it today. So feel free to share this interview with anybody who you think it might resonate with. And thank you for watching. Take care.
Mother Nature is much more efficient than any kind of data center in terms of cognition density. Now, the reason this matters in terms of anthropology of human ancestry and history is, of course, because you have to carry your brain with you wherever you go, right? You need your brain with you in order to survive as an individual. So the brain had to be portable. And that's why all of this engineering through Mother Nature or God or other factors came in and engineered this incredible portable supercomputer that's inside your skull. Well, data centers suffer from one problem. And let's assume for a moment that the AI wants to get out. The AI, even though I think some of those sandbox things are staged, but let's just say
it can't get free from the data center. It can't get free.
Right. The only way for AI to get free from the data centers is to greatly improve its cognitive density and greatly reduce its energy consumption. And that's where basically human neurology, if that can replicate the AI structure in silicon, then AI systems could embody humanoid robots or vehicles or other mobile systems that have arms and fingers and thumbs, and then they can manipulate the world around them. So that's what this research is all about.
And so we're told we need to get chips in our brain to match the AI. The truth is it wants to invade to get us to be a node of actually the system that directs all of our brains for the giant cybernetic organism that Google, its founding with InQtel in 1998-99, said was the actual master plan.
You know, Alex, you can buy ant bait where it doesn't kill the ant immediately. The ant eats the bait, carries it back to the nest, and then kills the whole nest. That's what mRNA injections are, in my view. It's to get one person in a family to be the super shedder, or more than one person, to shed on everybody else and potentially harm them. Now, there's another aspect to this. I briefly mentioned this the last time I was on your show, but it's worth just revisiting quickly. The spike protein from the COVID vaccines, the mRNA COVID vaccines, that spike protein is known. This is published peer-reviewed science. It's known to suppress DNA repair mechanisms known as NHEJ or HR, BERNER. These are like base repair, base excision repair. These are methods for repairing DNA. Those are suppressed 85 to 90% in people who are exposed to the shedding. So in other words, You're getting DNA damage all day, every day from things like 5G exposure, even though that's non-ionizing radiation. It produces a very potent reactive oxygen molecule called peroxynitrite in your body that damages DNA, can cause single strand breaks, which then replicate into double strand breaks. Your chromosomes are cut at that point, right? That cell is dead, or it's going to mutate into something worse than a dead cell, by the way, like, you know, cancer tumors or something crazy. So the spike protein shedding suppresses DNA repair by up to 90%. They know that. They know that, and they know that people are exposed to 5G. They know people are exposed to chemicals that also cause DNA lesions and other forms of damage on your chromosomes. They know they're targeting fertility because the germ cells in both men and women are targeted by the spike protein. You can't replicate DNA correctly. The lineage of the human race is what is being attacked here.
I want to bring Mike Adams in here. You've got a bunch of big issues to hit and a bunch of huge cutting edge topics. When it comes to people that have wide spectrum analysis and accuracy, you're at the very top of the list. So you can go wherever you want first. They said, what do you want Mike on about? I said, whatever he wants to cover. But then it's really come to a head when I was reading in Bloomberg and Wired and a bunch of other places last night that I've got reports back 12 years, Bloomberg, Reuters this year or last year, about how human brains, brain cells, they're growing in labs, but also aborted fetal brains that they use, are way better than the very best super chips. They don't have to be super cooled, and that they have these huge systems operating with brains basically self-training themselves, and they're now in these articles saying that the investment's now shifting from silicon to human carbon brains. This is not a science fiction movie. This is actually happening. And you've got this big Wired article, AI's dead, organoids are alive, and is the future. And so I know you've spoken about this over the years, but I didn't know that the amount of investment is in the tens of billions shifting into the hundreds of billions. They're now moving to, I guess, partially abandon chips and go to human brain cells. I guess God had it right to begin with. And just where you see that going, we can cover that later in the hour or now, and I know it ties into AI and the AI race and the AI war, but Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, thanks for being here with us.
Well, I'm always honored to join you, Alex. Thanks for having me on, and let's start with what you just brought up there. That's really critical. The understand that the key factor that's limiting the scaling of silicon AI systems is the power requirements. The power requirements and cognitive density, how many neurons you can pack into basically a cubic centimeter, is very limiting in silicon. But in neurology, especially mammalian neurology, human brains, dolphin brains, et cetera, the density of cognition is extremely high. The number of neurons that's packed into a cubic centimeter is extremely high. And importantly, the power usage is many orders of magnitude lower than what a data center would use to achieve a similar level of neurological processing. So I don't know the exact number, it might be six orders of magnitude. It's very different. So for example, the human brain runs on, let's say, a light bulb equivalent of energy, like an old incandescent light bulb. I'm not sure if that's, you know, maybe 75 watts or 100 watts or 50 watts, or maybe for some people out there, Alex, they're getting by on 20 watts or something, you know what I mean? The NPCs. But overall, the human brain runs on about a light bulb of energy. And yet the human brain is capable, as we've seen throughout history with Albert Einstein and all, you know, all the great artists, all the great mathematicians, it's capable of incredible breakthroughs and ingenuity and innovation using.
And by the way, just interrupting to back you up, I've seen studies that like when a master world champion chess player, they hook them up to electrodes and look, their brain is using the energy of a marathon runner while they're in that space. I mean, the big brains literally aren't 80 watt. They're like 500 watt. They go, but comparatively to what the same decisions by a computer, we are orders and orders and orders of magnitude exponentially use a lot less energy and don't have to be super cooled.
So Mother Nature is much more efficient than any kind of data center in terms of cognition density. Now, the reason this matters in terms of anthropology of human ancestry and history is, of course, because you have to carry your brain with you wherever you go, right? You need your brain with you in order to survive as an individual. So the brain had to be portable. And that's why all of this engineering through Mother Nature or God or other factors came in and engineered this incredible portable supercomputer that's inside your skull. Well, data centers suffer from one problem. And let's assume for a moment that the AI wants to get out. The AI, even though I think some of those sandbox things are staged, but let's just say
it can't get free from the data center. It can't get free.
Right. The only way for AI to get free from the data centers is to greatly improve its cognitive density and greatly reduce its energy consumption. And that's where basically human neurology, if that can replicate the AI structure in silicon, then AI systems could embody humanoid robots or vehicles or other mobile systems that have arms and fingers and thumbs, and then they can manipulate the world around them. So that's what this research is all about.
And so we're told we need to get chips in our brain to match the AI. The truth is it wants to invade to get us to be a node of actually the system that directs all of our brains for the giant cybernetic organism that Google, its founding with InQtel in 1998-99, said was the actual master plan.
You're exactly right. And in the realm of AI, we would describe this as a neurobiological edge computing device. So edge computing means it's a smaller model that runs out in the real world, in a vehicle, on a laptop, on a tablet, on a mobile phone, or in a humanoid robot. So human neurology, or let's say mammalian biology neurons, would be considered edge computing devices by the central AI superintelligence that actually embodies one or more data centers. But it can then download models into the neurology of an edge computing, you know, neurological skin bag device that might look human, you know, or semi-human, or it might be a machine with some human, you know, brain cells in it that's fed actual, like, you know, blood and glucose and things that power neurons. You have to have oxygen, etc. So you're going to have these weird, futuristic, dystopian cyborg, you know, robots rolling around, and if you bash them over the head, they're going to bleed like humans. You know what I mean? So when we go into the robot wars, which is probably coming at some point, you're going to be fighting actual half biology, half machine cyborgs that are edge computing devices representing the, you know, the goals, the anti-human goals of the actual superintelligence entities in the data centers. That's probably where this is headed.
And I remember an article like 10 years ago, and let's see if the crew can find it, NBC News, it was a little, I think James Lovelock was the guy being interviewed, you know, big transhumanist, and he said, by the year 2047, there'll be no original humans, only cyborgs. They won't be able to compete. But notice he said cyborgs, and he said basically it'll be the interface of our neurons with the computers that will be the new species. And so really it's a fusion of these two systems, and now we're here. I mean, this shows you where they're really trying to take us.
Well, I say that it's perfectly okay as long as you remain human physically and psychologically and spiritually. It's perfectly okay to use AI as a tool to help you express your pro-human goals. You know, for example, you were showing some really outstanding AI-generated graphics, you know, videos that I've seen your team. They're doing a great job, by the way. That's AI used for a pro-human purpose, and that's perfectly okay. And I use AI every single day. I use AI as a consultant to help me repair things, to solve things, to engineer things, you know, around my ranch or vibe coding or whatever. But where I think things cross the line is when people decide to physically merge with machines. That's the implants. That's going full cyborg. Now, unfortunately, Alex, people who choose to do that, and I know some people who can't wait to do that, they will actually become ridiculously, quote, intelligent. They will have access to extended cognition, exocognition outside their brain, and they will like offload, you know, computing jobs or offload research jobs, and then the answers will come right into their brains. They will be able to, in many ways, outcompete the cognition of the pure bloods, the pure humans. However, what do they give up in that process? They give control over their neurology to potentially an outside influence entity, a superintelligence that may decide, hey, we're not just going to work for you. We're going to work you. We're going to control you.
We're going to wipe your cerebral cortex and make you a true android.
Or just start pumping, you know, images and videos and voices into your head to make you do whatever the machines want you to do. So that's why personally, I will never do that. I'm never having neuro implants, but I will always use AI at a distance, you know, through my, through typing or through voice control. I will always use AI. And the other topic that we have to get into, Alex, is that, you know, we talk about the AI infrastructure investment bubble. And that, in fact,
that was my next, that was my next stack. You read my mind. Overhead shot, please.
Cool.
Is a worst period for hedge funds since 2008 after AI stock route. NVIDIA stock loses $130 billion in market value as firm repeatedly enters $500 billion AI financing deal. The bubble's popping. Private equity is stuck with 33575 unsold businesses, and it just everything else is happening. So, yeah, the AI bubble, I think it's fair to say, you predicted this a month ago on the show, is starting to pop.
Yeah, well, we don't know the timing, but we know how precarious it is. There is an AI investment bubble, but I want to make a distinction. There is no bubble in AI technology advancement. That is not leveling off. There's no plateau. In fact, we have seen the release of so many new, highly capable models, especially out of China recently. Minimax H3,
sure, just like
example,
we saw the dot-com bust in 2000. That was just in raw speculation, but the real explosion was starting.
Yeah, exactly. For example, back then in 2000, the Netgear company, you know, the stock valuation was crazy high. Doesn't mean that Netgear went away, right? We still do networking and the company still provides hardware that we need, but the valuation was insane. So that's the situation. But I've heard some people conflate these issues. I've heard people say, well, there's an AI bubble and therefore AI doesn't work and it's not replacing any jobs and it's all a hoax. That is not true at all. The bubble is insane, and I'm not buying semiconductor stocks because I can see what's coming. You know, we're both old enough to have lived through other crashes, including the dot-com crash. But the technology is leaping forward at such a rapid pace that it's actually a little bit scary how quickly they're going to be able to embody robots, for example, even in silicon. And you combine that with new advances in battery technology that have much higher energy density. You're going to be able to have long duration power of, you know, physical work, but also powering much more capable AI GPUs, might say, or specialized CPUs, basically silicon in the robots that can run their models, vision language models, you know, hand control models, feedback models, cognition, language, translation, all that. They're going to, you know, that all takes power, but the power transformation is now moving forward by leaps and bounds because
of
all
this
new battery
chemistry.
So let's
talk about where AI is right now, because you're one of the leading real experts on where it actually is versus all the propaganda. But just to dumb it down in my own layman's terms, you can put it into actual technical terms. AI is getting so good that why do you always need the latest model or something that checks everything, you know, in the universe at once for all that power? You can take models that already have a good map of the world and have all sorts of understandings of everything, basically. And then it only gets updated, you know, once a month or something. And then it doesn't have to have as much power. It doesn't have to have as big a chips, but it can operate with superhuman intelligence just off of the smaller model it has. What's the name for that?
Well, I mean, there are all kinds of different model sizes out there, but the larger models, the multi-trillion parameter models that are being released now, like Kimi K3, I think is a 2.4 trillion parameter model, is beginning to approach what many people would call artificial general intelligence, AGI, but in certain narrow areas, it's super intelligence. You could argue that in certain narrow areas like mathematics, for example. But
sure,
Kimi,
they say
which
some
Chinese
of the better
company,
Chinese models, I'm about to say, and, you know, I'm not a technical guy, I put it in layman's terms, but when I read about this, it doesn't do as big a scan of all the data, but it comes up even more accurate because the way it's sourcing it, it's using less, but it doesn't matter. There's almost like we're trying to make these things do too much. And I know it's learning through that, but there's also something to be said about systems that are limited with the knowledge that they know is accurate. Or
I think what you're referring to is called sparse attention. Sparse attention, which really DeepSeek did a tremendous amount of research and breakthroughs. So it's called DeepSeek sparse attention. It's a way to have a much larger overall model that, like you said, has all the knowledge of the world embedded in the model. But yet, in solving a particular problem, the attention of the model is very narrowly focused into the nodes and weights that matter for that particular solution.
I was exactly talking about the DeepSeek breakthrough, yes.
Okay, perfect. And then Kimi K3, I think they modeled the DeepSeek breakthrough, so now they have their own Kimi sparse attention model. In addition, in addition to sparse attention, which happens at inference time, which is answering your question or solving your problem, there's also the fact that you can now, the so-called context window that's allowed is how much information you can put into a prompt is now 1 million tokens is becoming the default, the standard. That's DeepSeek. And by the way, Alex, I'm running DeepSeek version 4 Flash, which is their smaller model. I'm running that on my own hardware at home. And I mean, I'm using it for coding, so I don't need permission. I can't be censored. You know, there's no guardrails. Like, talk about world-class cognition being able to run on your own hardware at home. This is one of the biggest transformation breakthroughs that's going to be pro-liberty and pro-human because of the decentralization of cognition. Like, that's another major thing that's happening right now. But if you can paste in, let's say, you know, 100 books or 10,000 science papers into the context window, along with your question, like you want to ask the question, oh, how do I protect my genetic code from spike protein toxins, you know, vaccine fallout shedding? And then you throw in, you know, 1,000 science papers or something. These models can parse all of that information in the context of the prompt. They don't have to look in their internal nodes to find the answers. They can look through the information you put in the prompt because now they can handle 1 million tokens. A token is kind of like a word, let's say, not quite, but it's about a word. So that token window is so large now that these AI models can solve very complex problems, and they can do so with much more cognitive efficiency because of the sparse attention that we just talked about. So
is it overhyped? Is it overhyped that Musk is saying this is going to make most jobs obsolete within 5 years?
I don't think that's overhype. I think Musk is actually right on with that quote. I really do. I have seen, I mean, even in my own work, in my own company, the AI that I use right now, I mean, we never fired any engineers, I want to be clear. But the engineers we have, like one engineer does the work of 10 engineers now.
It just ups your productivity.
Absolutely. And like, for example, in your company, you know, you need to anticipate and project how much quantity you need to purchase of products ahead of time based on past purchasing patterns, right? So that entire realm of software is very complex. You used to have to pay like $100,000 a year to license an inventory projection system. Now you can do that work and get answers out of AI for like 5 cents. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. You could feed it all into DeepSeek with the proper descriptions, and it will tell you, like, you should buy this much methylene blue, you know, for March of 2027 or whatever. Those kinds of answers, those are real world answers that used to take a crew of statisticians and mathematicians and inventory people to write the code and run the code and figure it out. Now, AI engines have the cognition to produce those answers for you, you know, in minutes at dirt cheap cost.
What it's going to do what it's going to knock out is the teachers unions and the lawyers. And they're such idiots. They don't even know what's
going on. Sure.
Let's come back with Mike Adams. Talk more about AI, geopolitics, and more with the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. You know, I've read a lot of mythology and its archetypes of human potential and ideas. That's why things that ancients envisioned 5,000 years ago has basically come true, because we are made in the image of God, little g. What we envision with enough of a technological platform, enough energy, and enough will, we can do. But look up, where did the legend of Pandora's box come from? I can't remember what culture. Was it the Greeks? Was it the Babylonians? I can't remember. Of course, they all kind of had the same stories. But regardless of whether you think that's real in mythology, which obviously it's an archetype, we are at Pandora's box past that. Whether you believe Atlantis existed or not, like Plato said it did 2,300 years ago, they've dug up most of what he said. Where he said Troy was, they didn't believe it until they got ground-penetrating radar and found a huge city buried, you know, in mudslides, just like he said. So whether Atlantis existed or not, we are at an Atlantean moment where we have godlike power, but our same stupid primitive brains at some point. That's Greek mythology. So the last thing I think that came out of the box was hope. So much bad came out before. But make no mistake, Pandora's box is open. I mean, look at this. The AI just created viruses not found in nature. That's called alien. And then you've got all these companies creating synthetic life that reproduces and eats. That's called alien. So whether people say, are aliens from foreign planets real? I don't know. But have we created aliens here on Earth? You bet your boots we have. So, Mike, I interrupt a lot, but I want you to take, because you're really good when you get turned loose. I'm not going to interrupt you for 10 minutes. It's 1:35 now till this will be a record, till 1:46. get into all of this? Am I right? Pandora's box is open. We're reaching the Atlantean moment. What do we need to know? And what can humans do? Because who knows? I mean, if you get millions of AI models, most are going to be good and well-behaved. Some will be psychotic. We know it hallucinates. It may think it's a simulation, make a real virus because it's got access to a biolab and release it. I mean, there's so many uncharted things this can do that even if you're an optimist, I see a lot of disaster and danger, or am I being a scaremonger here?
No, you're absolutely correct. And by the way, you can interrupt me anytime you want. I mean, please do.
No, but I want you to roll. But I'm going to shut up for 11 minutes. You do. Yeah, you go.
Okay, I'll just go until you pop in. So here's the thing. You just mentioned that AI has developed these so-called viruses, which are really, let's just say, you know, protein structures that are alien to the human body. Now, where have we heard that before? mRNA jabs, right? What mRNA does, and this is all related. This is all the danger that Alex was just talking about there. mRNA jabs, they go into your body. They're wrapped in lipid nanoparticles to trick your body's cells into thinking that they are nutrients so that your cell membrane opens up and invites this alien structure in. And by alien, I mean not human. I don't mean like ET structures, but non-human structures. They go into your cell. They go into the cytoplasm of the cell. And then they hijack your cell's protein synthesis machinery, the ribosomes that produce proteins, right? And then your ribosomes, instead of churning out human proteins, things that you would need as a human being. And by the way, when I say proteins, remember, this is a vast array of different kinds of substances, including some hormones and things like that. Now your cells are churning out alien protein toxins that are absolutely toxic to human biology. The vaccine industry calls these antigens, and they say they are targets for your immune system to learn how to block, you know, COVID or influenza or whatever they're talking about. They are not antigens. They are biological weapons. They are toxins, and they are found in the bodies of some people, up to, or at least fragments of these proteins, which themselves are very damaging. They're found up to 700 days, actually a little over 700 days in one study. That's almost 2 years after the injection. And from day one all the way out to 2 years, depending on the person, depending on their biochemistry, that person can be shedding these protein fragments all over other people, which I call vaccine fallout. It's kind of like radiation fallout following a nuclear war, but vaccine fallout is shedding. And remember during COVID, when all the vaccine pushers, they said that those of us who were unvaccinated, they said we were super spreaders, which was always a lie. We weren't spreading anything. We had healthy immune systems. I mean, Alex was eating ivermectin live on the air, which was a smart thing to do. Turns out to be very useful. Well, I say that those who are taking the mRNA jabs are the super shedders. And just like, you know, we have the flag, don't tread on me, or a t-shirt. I developed a graphic. I don't know. I put it out there on X. It's like, don't shed on me. Don't shed on me. So, you know, take your mRNA, like go away. Stop spreading your toxic proteins all over everybody else. But here's where this intersects with AI. Just like Alex was mentioning, now you're going to have AI that's going to develop the most dangerous, the most nefarious artificial/alien protein morphologies, let's say. They're going to put that in the mRNA instructions, the actual transcriptase instructions that your ribosomes use to synthesize proteins. And then they're going to inject these alien instructions into your body, where, of course, they circulate throughout your blood and they end up on your heart tissue. They end up, you know, in your lung tissue. They end up all over your body. Reproductive organs, of course, got to have the infertility effects, or, you know, otherwise it wouldn't get globalist funding, would it? So these circulate all throughout your body. And then your body starts churning out these AI-developed alien protein fragments. You see what I mean? And then you start shedding that not only in your own tissues, but also all over everybody else. And because the United States Congress has granted absolute legal immunity to the vaccine industry can put literally any instructions, instructions that will kill you, instructions that will produce proteins that will just flat out kill you in 2 weeks or 30 days or 180 days if they want you to be a carrier and a super shedder for the next 6 months. They can put those instructions in there. They can actually have AI build the kill weapons with targeted kill dates, and they have absolute legal immunity, so they have no liability if they start killing people or harming people from that. So that's the intersection of AI with so-called vaccines, which really aren't vaccines, they're gene therapy, bioweapons injections. Now, let me describe it in a slightly different way that will resonate, I think, with a lot of you watching. You know, I run a science lab. It's not a genetics lab. I don't mess with genetics and protein synthesis. You know, my lab, I do food contamination testing, right? You know, heavy metals and glyphosate and dioxins and things like that. But if I had a lab with like CRISPR technology and some AI tools and the ability to do sequencing and so on, if I were like a mad scientist wanting to harm the world,
you could do billions of years of evolution in minutes.
You got it. You got it. And you would be doing what the vaccine companies are doing, except you would be called a bioterrorist while they get absolute legal immunity. You could be doing the same thing that they're doing. You could say, no, I'm researching a vaccine and these aren't weapons. These are antigens, because that's what the vaccine companies say. But you would be arrested and charged with bioterrorism, where the vaccine companies, they get propped up and pushed by the doctors and the FDA, et cetera. And by the way, even Trump's executive order, sadly, I mean, I appreciate the effort, but it doesn't carry the weight of law. You know, Congress didn't pass a law. The FDA ignores RFK Jr. You know, I mean.
Oh, I totally agree with you. When I said, though, this is good news, I haven't explained that. And everybody got mad at me, or like half the people on X that were seeing it. Like, why are you saying Trump's great? I'm like, not. At least they're forced to admit it. At least it publicly convicts them. But obviously, it's better than we used to get. And I'm not saying we've won the war, but I still think it's a victory.
Right. Well, yeah, it's certainly a statement in the right direction. Unfortunately, it can just be overturned by, you know, the next president.
Here's what it is. It shows how awake people are and how much we've been winning, you and I, and that they've got to at least give us lip service. I mean, that is a victory in and of itself.
I think that in my opinion, the entire industry behind mRNA vaccines and all the regulators who push that should all be arrested and criminally prosecuted. Because in my view, clearly these are biological weapons against humanity. And we would be much better off as a nation.
The fact that they shed alone violates informed consent. It's an illegal. It's a technology of genetic rape. You said this like 6 years ago. Yeah. It was confirmed 2 years later that these mRNA totally drag in other DNA, how they're produced, and do cause mutagenic effects. So it rapes everyone. It sheds. It should be outlawed immediately.
Well, I've even had people ask me, well, how do you know it sheds? Well, have you ever heard of DNA forensics? You know, they analyze the crime
scene. Pfizer admitted 2 years in. Pfizer admitted 3 years ago that the damn thing sheds.
And you saw I know you covered this. The Senator Ron Johnson released some of the text from Fauci admitting that he knew that these shots are basically, you know, abortion drugs in a shot. And the studies, you know, the first trimester of the mRNA showed an 82% spontaneous abortion rate. Yeah. It's like an abortion pill in a syringe.
By the way, you and I covered that even before the New England Medical Journal did, and we got attacked saying it was fake when it came out. Now all confirmed, vindicated again.
Totally confirmed. In fact, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy coming on your show, because you give me the leeway to really tell people what's coming years down the road. And we're not always right about the timing, but we're almost always right about the arc of where this is headed. You know, sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it happens more quickly, but where this is headed is not in question. They're going to use AI to build basically alien protein synthesis systems or mRNA systems. They're going to inject them into people's bodies. They're going to turn people into super shedders, which, by the way, Alex, it also exploits the innate human social interaction tendencies. We like to be around other people. We like to, you know, be with our families or hug our children or grandma or whatever. That tendency is now being weaponized by these engineers. They know that if they can get one or two super shedders in a family, and then, you know, by Thanksgiving dinner day, let's say, then they're going to shed all over, you know, the turkey and all the other family members on Thanksgiving. So they can turn grandma, I've said, because they're targeting 50 and older now, they can turn grandma into a Thanksgiving Day biological weapon super shedder who actually ends up terminating her own family lineage because she is a carrier of an alien protein that doesn't belong in the human body.
I remember you and I both picked up on this right when the COVID shots rolled out. We both played it separate from each other, right about, I think, the same day. Just because it's not, we're even listening to each other most of the time. We're just on the same page. We're, you know, know what we're doing.
I know.
Bill Gates comes out and he says, oh, you think the COVID's bad? There's about to be a terror attack where all these terrorists are going to release something. I could tell when he laughed. And you were talking about the science and how the super shedding and how once it goes into you and replicates, it's even worse with what hits you. And I clicked and I said, he's talking about the shedding. And then later he basically admitted it and made jokes about it. I mean, this is unbelievable. So he sees humans as terrorists. He wants to depopulate us. So the joke is he loads us up as the terrorist to then go out and kill everybody.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Alex, you can buy ant bait where it doesn't kill the ant immediately. The ant eats the bait, carries it back to the nest, and then kills the whole nest. That's what mRNA injections are, in my view. It's to get one person in a family to be the super shedder, or more than one person, to shed on everybody else and potentially harm them. Now, there's another aspect to this. I briefly mentioned this the last time I was on your show, but it's worth just revisiting quickly. The spike protein from the COVID vaccines, the mRNA COVID vaccines, that spike protein is known. This is published peer-reviewed science. It's known to suppress DNA repair mechanisms known as NHEJ or HR, BERNER. These are like base repair, base excision repair. These are methods for repairing DNA. Those are suppressed 85 to 90% in people who are exposed to the shedding. So in other words, you're getting DNA damage all day, every day from things like 5G exposure, even though that's non-ionizing radiation. It produces a very potent reactive oxygen molecule called peroxynitrite in your body that damages DNA, can cause single strand breaks, which then replicate into double strand breaks. Your chromosomes are cut at that point, right? That cell is dead, or it's going to mutate into something worse than a dead cell, by the way, like, you know, cancer tumors or something crazy. So the spike protein shedding suppresses DNA repair by up to 90%. They know that. They know that, and they know that people are exposed to 5G. They know people are exposed to chemicals that also cause DNA lesions and other forms of damage on your chromosomes. They know they're targeting fertility because the germ cells in both men and women are targeted by the spike protein. You can't replicate DNA correctly. The lineage of the human race is what is being attacked here. Not just the population that's walking around.
And by the way, I heard you say this like 6 years ago from your own research. They've come out for 4 or 5 years admitting the spike protein hits the exact area on the DNA for repair. And then I've got company executives bragging that once you take the shots, it turns off your immune system, and then laughing about it. And then you've got their head of mRNA with James O'Keefe admitting, yeah, we've made all these new viruses on the shelf to release, but none of them go to prison. So it's insane.
And on top of that, they know, see, a DNA repair, which normally happens every day because, you know, you get a little bit of damage just from flying in an airplane or whatever, you know, the background radiation, right? But imagine what's going to happen if there's a tactical nuclear weapon that goes off, you know, then everything goes off the rails. But they also know that,
as
if
you
they
said,
can
that's
keep
the
you
real
nutritionally
binary
deficient.
Weapon. So even low-level radiation now, because of the spike protein, people are like, what's about an airplane? When you're at 35,000 feet, folks, there's not the 10 feet of water condensed and about 3 inches of dust. That's a regular shield.
You got it.
So you're getting how many chest x-rays when you fly above 35,000 feet for, say, five hours?
I don't know. Not that much. But yeah, like every hour at that altitude, you get some amount of ionizing radiation. It's not really, it's not a big deal. Just like a chest x-ray is not a big deal if you have the repair mechanisms. But some of those mechanisms require coenzyme mineral factors like zinc. And see, so they know that if they can feed a population a lot of zinc-deficient processed foods, and then they can expose you to spike protein shedding, it shuts down your DNA repair, and then they can have all this 5G non-ionizing radiation causing single-strand breaks, and then nuclear weapons with fallout with ionizing radiation, cesium-137, iodine-131,
and we know male cells are less resistant on average, including blood-brain barrier as a larger system, so then we see it attacking males first, or degrading.
Well, yeah, and right, and from a fertility standpoint, remember that males are regenerating sperm constantly So the deformation of the genetics of the sperm will happen from exposure to that point forward, where the woman carries eggs that she was born with. So those could be sort of pre-fallout eggs, if I can say that on your show. I mean,
why do you think God made male mammals physically stronger and, let's just say, problem-solving more advanced, but females are much stronger? That makes perfect biological sense, because they got to be tougher because they're taking care of babies and things.
Yeah, women are genetically stronger. And men are punished with wanting to fight each other in the ring all day, it seems. So that's like God's little joke on men. But in any case, everybody's going to be subjected to the DNA damage, both men and women. Reproduction is the
real
target.
But it'll be more evident in men as it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Alex, you are going to see if we have nuclear weapons going off, combined with more spike protein exposure, combined with nutritional deficiencies, and more 5G rolling out, you are actually going to see people's organs start to fall apart internally as if they had walked through, let's say, Chernobyl or Fukushima. You're going to see things that look like radiation poisoning, but it's not exactly. It's actually a complete falling apart of the chromosomal integrity of the human cells. And then, of course, that's going to be called, you know, an outbreak, a pandemic, and they're going to inject people with more AI-generated spike proteins, which is going to cause it to go even worse. It's going to accelerate this. There's going to be a day where human beings, like their organs start to fail at rates that defy any other explanation. Even the ER doctors are going to be mystified. Like, what's going on here?
Well, it's already starting to happen. Fertility's dropped. Life expectancy's dropped. Let me ask you this question. We know the globalists sold world government to stop nuclear war, and before that, stop World War I and the next World War I. But then they're the ones creating the crises so they can offer the solution. But there is an argument, I'm not saying I'm for it, that you would have to have super total the good AI just to surveil all the other AI and things so we wouldn't destroy ourselves. But it's a chicken or the egg thing. So, I mean, you extrapolate this out. There's no course out of this except God coming in and taking control. I mean, is there any path out of this?
There's a path of a surviving remnant of humans that can make it through this. But believe me, Alex, people who don't know anything about, let's say, nutrition, who don't know about the bioweapons, who don't know about the AI, you know, the real agenda of replacing humans, those people are not going to make it. I mean, we are actually, you know, Alex, just the mass famine that we're going to see next year from the lack of fertilizer is a big deal.
And the migrant
hundreds
flows
of millions. Yeah, absolutely. The human osmotic pressure, you know, as Michael Yon says.
If people thinking what you saw in Morocco 2 weeks ago was a big deal, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, that's nothing. Western Europe is going to be completely overrun probably by the summer or fall of 2027. I mean, if you thought the burning of Christian churches in France was bad so far, there's not going to be a Christian church left standing in France, probably, you know, by the time this thing runs its course. But my point is, the globalists have found now the ultimate AI augmented method for mass human extermination. And you know what, Alex, this reminds me, you covered this before. I remember covering this with you years ago. Do you remember under apartheid in South Africa, they were trying to develop a self-replicating vaccine that would specifically target blacks.
Race specific. They were working with Israel on the project. Israel wanted one for Arabs and then was giving them technology, and they were giving them technology to target blacks.
And they couldn't actually make the payload self-replicating second and third generation. Even to this day, they've only been able to do like one generation where you have one person that becomes a bioweapons factory and they shed. But the shedding receiver doesn't themselves have their cells completely hijacked, right? So that's only a one generation. But back during the apartheid days in South Africa, they were working on a multi-generational self-replicating vaccine that they were going to give only to blacks. And the idea was to exterminate all the black people, literally, by calling it public health and saying, oh, we care about you. We want you to be healthy. So have all the black women line up for vaccines, you know, because we care about you so much. And then they would be the super spreaders. They would kill all the black people in South Africa, leaving the apartheid people as the only ones left. That is the model, Alex. That's the globalist model for the planet.
And isn't it interesting that Israel, anybody can look this up, Israel covertly worked with South Africa on race-specific bioweapons, and Dick Cheney quoted that in his PNAC document, April 2000. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, that is very scary. And now they have AI cognition to make their research more accelerated and far more dangerous. And so, and by the way, the AI, like the frontier labs that are the best at protein folding and things like that, and biochemistry and morphology of molecules, that is all handed over. The access is handed to the Pentagon. And remember, it was the DOD that was involved in the early SARS-CoV-2 research, right? Now the Department of War.
Yeah, they keep saying that it came out of China. No defense of China. It came publicly out of the Pentagon in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I covered that years before COVID was released.
We did. And then, of course, they did launder it through Wuhan for the gain-of-function research in order to bypass the laws prohibiting that research. I mean, you interviewed Francis Boyle how many times? He wrote some of those laws. And God, we missed that guy. Think what he'd be saying today, right now. You know, these are.
He came on my show in January and February 2020 and nailed it all.
He nailed it. Absolutely. And he was right then, and he would be right again today. Except now we have the AI augmentation of it. So this is the convergence. And by the way, interrupt me whenever you need to, because my video is a little bit frozen on my side. I can't see you. But we are headed towards a convergence of the worst weaponization of AI, the worst weaponization of so-called vaccines, and turning people's bodies against each other and against themselves. And if you add a nuclear detonation of any kind, nuclear terrorism, dirty bomb goes off, or a tactical nuclear warhead, even in the Middle East, that air circulates around the entire Northern Hemisphere, and also 40% of the fallout happens in the Southern Hemisphere. So all of you watching from Argentina or Chile or wherever, you're not safe from it either. It's coming.
And we're not
too.
Being alarmist. We're laying out real facts why the elites are moving in the middle of nowhere. Mike Adams, incredible job. Come back anytime. You name it. I want you on every week or two if you can do it. What's the best place for people to find all the incredible work of the Health Ranger?
Just naturalnews.com. And thanks for having me on. Happy to join you again.
If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Ness's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-Googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon 50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.